Hi, I'm Evan Lucas-Cunningham, and welcome to the Feel Better Every Day podcast, helping you connect with and take better care of yourself and create a life you don't need to retreat from. Welcome to episode 17 of the Feel Better Every Day podcast. Today I'm talking to my friend and the author of It's Your Power Portal, Kathy Bishop. She's a medical herbalist and sharing some of her ideal and actual daily self-care practices. And as you listen, I'd love you to think about how you find ways to let the light into your life as much as possible, your social media use, and how you might make it more conscious to make it more inspirational rather than dragging you down in any way. And also thinking about what in your daily routine helps you access your most creative thinking and being open to that problem-solving, wonderful way in which our mind works when we're not forcing it. Let me know in the comments, and I hope you enjoy the episode as much as I enjoyed making it. Hi, welcome Kathy Bishop. Thank you so much for joining me for the Feel Better Every Day podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Eve. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Oh, this is especially delightful. We met because you moved in upstairs from me when I lived in Essex, my last place in the UK. And we very quickly discovered how much we had in common. I'm just remembering, as a result of you, I was able to have my book launch at London's Coliseum, which just still blows my mind.
I know those times. I know it was, yeah, and I was really, really glad to be able to help you out with that.
But yeah, so we met, we realised how much we had in common in terms of all the complementary therapies, all sorts of things. You're best known for your Into the Wild, you've created and sell a lube, which is vegan and organic. And you're also an author of this lovely book, It's Your Power Portal. Yeah. So how long have you been into herbal medicine and vaginal health and looking after women? And what are you working on at the moment?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So thank you for that, Eve, and thank you for a great introduction. So I guess I was into herbs from an early age. I kind of got into herbal medicine through folk and folk music, and through that kind of learning about folk medicine, and kind of learning then about kind of what was growing in the countryside around where I grew up. And it was only later that I decided to make that formal, and in my mid-20s I went back to university and did a second degree in Western herbal medicine, which qualified me to be a medical herbalist. And from that point on, I've been a member of the National Institute of Medical Herbalists, which is the oldest professional body of medical herbalists in the UK. And I think, well, I didn't realise this at the time that I was training, but it became really clear from soon after I graduated that the clients that I was drawing towards me were women with vaginal health conditions. And actually, if you think about it now, reflecting back, it was kind of written always that it was to be thus. I suffered with, I talk about it this in my book, I suffered with vaginal thrush from, I just turned 11, the first time I ever got it. And that kind of stayed with me really into my mid-30s, on and off, but the majority of the time during those years. So it was quite a lot of time. That's not why I decided to train as a practitioner, although throughout my teenage years and beyond, I did consult with herbalists and things about it. But yeah, it just seemed like this was going to be my path, you know, as my herbalist once said to me, you've been given this as a gift. And I was like, say what? I didn't understand at the time. But yeah, it really has been my gift. And to really kind of dive deep into that, to be able to help other women, it's kind of a very silent, vaginal health issues are kind of very silent. And in terms of people aren't speaking about them very often, even less than they are about menstrual health. So
yeah,
it's really hard to gauge how many people, but the amount of interest that I certainly get with my work, it's kind of silent. You know, I'm hesitating to use the word epidemic, but
yeah,
you get the idea. You get the idea. So through that, I went on to develop my lubricant Wild One that that has been out in the market for the last 3 years. So won a couple of awards, and yeah, so
Brilliant.
people really seem to like that as well, and writing the book as an extension.
Yeah, wonderful. So, tell me a bit about if you had all the time in the world, all the energy in the world, what would you love to be doing when you wake up in the morning for your self-care and your uppercase self-care?
Brilliant. Okay, well, first of all, there is in our society this feeling that, it's a very sort of masculine, patriarchal driven idea of like productivity. You're kind of on from the moment you start, and we kind of work really hard. Otherwise, where is our value in society? And I've, like all of us probably, have kind of fallen victim to that at different points. Whereas recently, in the recent years, I'm like leaning very much into the fact that I'm not an early bird. Great if you are, but it's not me. I'm not a night owl either. I'm kind of a during the day kind of person. So I don't want to wake up at 5 o'clock to get an extra couple of hours of work in, or go or hit the gym at that point. I want to sleep in till at least 7:30, 8 o'clock. So that's my ideal. I tend to wake up naturally at 7:30, kind of start the day with a cup of tea and just let the light into my life. So kind of, ideally I'd have a little area that I could sit outside, especially when it was warm enough, and enjoy like my cup of herbal tea in the morning. And maybe also taking some meditation around that time and really think about my intentions for the day and do a bit of movement as well. So there's some yoga movements that I quite like to do for myself at home at different points. But if I could bring them in daily, and a little bit of other floor exercises as well, that would be my ideal. And then just kind of ground it myself into the day and not feel pressured by this internal drive that I've almost, and most of us have been trained to kind of feel.
Yep. Yeah.
So that would be my ideal.
What about the reality? What about the like kind of not necessarily the everyday reality, but those days where you just don't have the time and energy? What do you have to do? What are your self-care essentials?
My self-care essential really is having a shower in the morning. So when I first launched, I've been working on Wild Run Into the Wild about 6 years before it launched in 2000. But in that launch year, obviously, first year of the pandemic, everything was thrown into flux anyway for people. But really, I would just wake up and go to my desk and work. At some point, someone would hand me a cup of herbal tea. Maybe I'd think about showering at some point in the day, but I'd feel guilty, But really, one of my self-care essentials really is showering, because it's part of my creative process. I often talk about getting downloads and things, and I'm not too sure really if that language for myself, but this is where all of my ideas and my ideation comes to me, and where my brain just kind of starts flowing and working in that creative process. So a shower is part of my creative process. And even if I think I don't have time, I know that I will just feel so much better. So shower always. So in the mornings when I have early meetings and things, I don't book anything before 9. But shower is the thing. Shower and a cup of tea are my things.
Brilliant. And what about later in the day? What do you like to do, all things like what would be your ideals and what is the reality, including your winding down for bed routine?
Yeah, so my ideal would be, and I'm going to start with the reality first, because then
Okay.
it kind of shows what my ideal would be. My ideal and versus the reality. So the reality is, I sit there scrolling on Instagram, and I found myself sitting scrolling on Instagram to 11 at night.
From what time?
I don't know, from sort of like maybe for like a good 45 minutes. Not the way to wind down for bed. This is not good. So my phone is set so that it goes on to like a night sort of setting, so the blue light goes off, so it's more yellowy, the screen. And there are accounts that I follow on Instagram that I do get a lot of inspiration from, like truly. There's obviously a load of like stuff on there as well, kind of the chatter and things. So there are some things in there that do nourish me. And I've been actually recently just very much like, no, so much so that I think I'm going to be taking, this is very brave to say this, I think I'm going to be taking the Facebook app off of my phone permanently and just logging in on it on desktop for work. But yeah, cutting that out. And yeah, a lot of it was just screen time, really, using TV to unwind.
Yeah.
And then winding myself up a little bit again before bed with Instagram. That's not sensible, but somehow we just fall into those traps.
I think, you say somehow, they have some of the brightest minds in the universe working on making these apps as addictive as possible.
Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, we say whatever works for you, you know, and it's fine. Some people will feel like, but realistically, just physiologically, have kind of as minimal blue light for our circadian rhythms before we go to bed is sensible for every human on the planet. So so doing that, and also getting into bed by about 10:30 and being quite strict with that, and being like, actually reimagining this is time to sleep, like normalizing that this, we don't have to stay up late because we're adults and we've been working hard, so we deserve it. Actually, we deserve good sleep. So that is something that I've been changing recently, and also reading, at least, like, you know, have a 10 minutes of reading a book for pleasure before sleep, not a work related book, although that, you know, sometimes that can be good, but that can get your mind working too much.
Yeah,
a book for pleasure. So that is my ideal, really. And
okay, brilliant. I love what you're saying about the I deserve good sleep, and it's that figuring out how to make all the things that serve us friendly rather than authoritarian. I have to do whatever.
Yeah, I'm really, you know, recently I've lived probably the majority of my adult life by to-do list, because that's how I organize myself, that's how my brain works. And actually, if self-care needs to feel like another to-do list, at some point it's going to stop serving you. Probably, maybe in the beginning it can be useful depending on your situation, I think personally, but at a point you're going to feel like it's just another thing. So if you, for me, it's been like a mindset switch. Was like, actually, I'm going to do things that serve me and my health and my mental health and my sleep hygiene, although I don't really like using being in these situations, but it's a well-known term, or getting to be a well-known term, that serve those things that serve me, not just I deserve. It's like, you know, I deserve to sit up and watch another episode on Netflix of okay, but it's just flipping the mindset, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the body, I guess.
Absolutely. And you've said a little already, but if you could go back in time with some love, some care, some advice for younger Kathy, what would that be?
It would be listen to all the very wise herbalists and therapists that I've consulted with over the years who have told me, Kathy, it might be beneficial for you if you meditated. I had that said to me so many times, and I started meditating maybe in about 2016. It's not a practice I do daily, and I don't want it to become a should, because shoulds don't feel great, especially right now for me. But I think this would have helped me deal with just life stress, and, you know, when I was doing my herbal medicine degree, and, you know, things that come into life like that.
Okay.
I knew what they were talking about.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me for this. Where can people find you? I'm going to have your information in the show notes, but where can people find you, for example, on Instagram and your website?
Absolutely. So if you go online to my website, Into the Wild, so wild is spelled WYLDE, so that's intothewild.com. And you can find out about the lubricant there and also find out about me and also consulting with me as a herbalist. If you have vaginal health issues, that's what I'm here for. That's what I specialise in. My clinic is dedicated to you, basically. And you can also email me from there as well. And Instagram, I'm on at Into the Wild. And at the moment, my clinic is actually open to taking new clients. That's not something I can say every month.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking in October, September 2023.
Post-production will take however long post-production takes, so I don't know when this will air. I've never done a podcast before, but presumably you'll have that information on your website, so whenever people are listening to this, they'll...
Yeah. Absolutely, do get in touch, yeah. Because the best thing to do is just send me a note and we'll see when we can fit you in as soon as possible.
Well, thanks again. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been a delight.
Thank you for inviting me, Eve. It's great to see you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Feel Better Everyday podcast. I'd love to hear what you're going to do in terms of making time for your shower equivalent, a way in which you can connect with your innate creativity, whether you consider yourself creative or not. And I'd also love if you are happy to like, rate, review, subscribe, let me know if you've got any questions or comments, and share it, if you're happy to, with people you think might benefit. Next week's guest is the delightful Marilyn Devenish, and we'll be entering the solar plexus chakra part of our work in terms of the Love Your Whole Self chakra journey that I'm running with the Embodied Wellbeing community over on Substack. So you can find out more about that at selfcarecoaching.net or evemc.substack.com. But I'm very much looking forward to sharing that episode. And this, as with all episodes so far, is produced by myself, your host, Eve Moses Cunningham. Thanks again for listening.